Never trust anyone who has not brought a book with them. Lemony Snicket. Hello and welcome to another episode of Prattle and Pages. I have got a cat sat next to me. It's my cat, it's not just any cat. My cat Edgar. And we were given this wicker basket in a delivery, a Christmas hamper delivery, that was very kindly gifted to us. I forget who by now. But Edgar has got two quite expensive cat beds, one that was gifted to him and one that I bought him. And, you know, he's also got our bed, the sofa downstairs, there's an armchair downstairs. No, he decides that the wicker basket is where he sleeps. That's his favourite spot. And he's a big cat. Edgar is a very, very big tomcat. He does not fit in this wicker basket, but he insists on sitting in it in the most uncomfortable positions. So if you hear any creaking, I think you've already heard some, that is Edgar moving about in his teeny weeny tiny wicker basket. So I apologise in advance. But welcome back to Prattle and Pages. I hope you're all doing well. I am sending you lots and lots of love wherever you are, whatever you happen to be doing. I hope that you are doing okay. And I hope that the sun is shining where you are. It was quite a miserable morning this morning, but suddenly the sun's come out. And, you know, I'm an autumnal girl. I was born in October. Halloween is my favourite holiday. However, I always forget just how good the sun makes me feel. So I hope that wherever you are, the sun is shining. That is Edgar moving about again. There we go. This week, I would like to talk to you about a book called 84 Charing Cross Road. It's a very teeny-weeny tiny book. The copy that I have is actually two books in one. It is 84 Charing Cross Road, and then it turns into the sequel halfway through, which is The Duchess of Bloomsbury Street. 84 Charing Cross Road is only a mere 95 pages, and The Duchess of Bloomsbury Street is only a further 135. So it's a very, very short book in total with the two books in one. And I had the gutting realisation that the sequel was included in the copy that I bought. The front cover just says 84 Charing Cross Road. So I was closing in on 90 pages thinking, oh, I've still got so long to go. And I was really enjoying myself. So I was so pleased that I still had, you know, over half the book to go. All of a sudden, it ended. It was over. And I was devastated, and it was that same sense that you get when you walk down the stairs and there's one less step than you think there is. That sudden jarring jolt where your heart suddenly drops out your body. But I'm here to talk about this book because I loved it so, so much. It very quickly jumped into my top 10 books. I say that like I know exactly what my top 10 is. I don't, but I definitely know that 84 Charing Cross Road is up there. So I've always loved letter writing. When I was, oh God, when I was 16, I was dating a boy who lived in Hong Kong, and he would go home to Hong Kong every summer, and we would write to each other. I insisted that we would write to each other. Now, I'm not that old, I'm only 28. We definitely had ways of communicating that were easier and faster than letter writing. We would Skype as well. But I had such a love of letter writing, of stationery, and I was such a hopeless romantic. I was one of those slightly annoying teenagers. And I insisted that we write to each other. And bless him, my boyfriend at the time humoured me and played along and wrote me some gorgeous love letters that I have still kept. And whilst they serve as a reminder of what a knobhead I was when I was 16... insisting that my boyfriend at the time wrote to me from Hong Kong when we could have easily just text each other. I know that when I'm 80 years old, I'll look back at them fondly. So they're there in a cupboard somewhere. But because of this love of letter writing and stationery and books, of course, I knew that 84 Charing Cross Road was going to be right up my street because it's all written in the form of letters. For those of you that don't know anything about this book, it's actually a true story and it's a real collection of letters that were sent back and forth from a screenwriter called Helene Hampf, who was based in New York. She was an American screenwriter, and she found this bookshop in London, 84 Charing Cross Road, which was actually called Marks & Co., and she realised they specialised in out-of-print books, and she had some very specific requests that she couldn't find in Barnes & Noble. So she started writing to this bookshop in London, and ended up becoming friends, becoming pen pals, really, with someone called Frank, who worked in the shop. There's also a real historical element to this book that I love. I'm hugely interested in history. It was one of my GCSEs, and even though I was interested in it, I was terrible at it. I passed with a C by the skin of my teeth. But there's a real historical element to this book. The first letter is sent in 1949, and then the letters continue for the next 20 years, the last letter being sent in 1969, well, the last letter of the book that we know of was sent in 1969, and World War II didn't end until 1945, and rationing didn't end until 1954. And there's some really lovely moments where Helene Hampf decides to send things that there's a shortage of in Britain. At one point, she just sends a massive ham hock, but she sends eggs and powdered milk and things that the Brits haven't seen in quite a while. They all start sending letters. You know, the letters aren't just between Frank at Marks & Co. and Helene. There's a few letters thrown in from Frank's wife and other people who work at the shop. And there's something that I love about books that are set in London. I have lived in London all my life, well, the outskirts of London, so I know London so well, and there's something that excites me to my very core when I hear places, and really specific places as well, like shops and restaurants and streets, specific streets that I know of, that I've been to. It excites me to know end. There was a book that I was reading when I was in Heathers back in 2018, and after my show would end, I would walk through Trafalgar Square past the National Gallery to get to, funnily enough, Charing Cross Station to get home. And as I was reading the book, there was mention of Trafalgar Square and the National Gallery, and I don't know what it was, but I was just so excited about it. And I ended up taking loads of pictures of the book outside the National Gallery and with Nelson's column. It just excites me to no end when I know exactly where the book is set and I can actually visit those places. And I think the other thing that added to my enjoyment of this book, and not just 84 Charing Cross Road, but also The Duchess of Bloomsbury Street, which is the story of Helene Hampf actually coming to England and visiting 84 Charing Cross Road after the book 84 Charing Cross Road had been published and ended up gaining her a little bit of fame and success. And I just loved reading about someone who is not from London discovering London for the first time. I kind of had that feeling where, you know, when you've read a really good book and you wish you could erase that book from your brain just so that you got the joy of reading it for the first time again. I kind of felt like that. I've grown up in London and I know London so well. And even though I know I love it and would never ever want to move away or live anywhere else permanently, when I'm going to work or just going about my day, I do forget just how amazing London is and just how much I love it. So reading about someone discovering it for the first time really reignited my love for my home city. But not only that, I was actually recommended this book by someone who lives in the USA. Noel Gallagher is a YouTuber who I have been watching religiously for the last few months. And I know why I loved reading 84 Charing Cross Road. As I said, it's because I know all of these places that were being mentioned. In fact, one of the letters that was sent from someone who worked in Marks & Co., aside from Frank, the address on their letter is literally a few streets away from the house that I grew up in. So that excited me to no end. That I literally had to put my book down. In fact, no, I didn't put it down. I took pictures of it and sent them to my family being like, oh my God, can you believe it? Because it's a place that no one really knows, and you never visit that place unless you know people who live there or you live there yourself. It's not like Charing Cross Road, where people find themselves on Charing Cross Road randomly because it's just another street in London where lots of people are constantly passing through. Where I grew up, it's not a touristy place, it's just a random little town outside of London. So it really excited me that it was in a book. I couldn't believe it. But it was so interesting to hear Noelle talk about why she loved the book as someone who did not grow up in London. And it was just as heartwarming for her to read as it was for me, someone who did grow up in London. And I have a real obsession with showing people places that I love. Like, I have been to Disney World in Florida quite a few times in my life, and even though I've pretty much done everything, aside from the new stuff that they've built in the last few years, I've done pretty much everything there is to do in Disney World. I've seen it all before, I've ridden every ride. There isn't a lot there that I haven't explored, but I still get so much enjoyment out of the place because each time I go, I try and take someone, I try and convince a friend or a family member who hasn't been to come with me. So then I get to relive the experience through their eyes, seeing someone fall in love with a place that I've been in love with for years. Makes me so unbelievably happy and so unbelievably excited. And I think that's why Disney World will never get old for me. It's because I'm constantly just trying to get people I love there, just to show them this place that makes me so ridiculously happy. And that's kind of the feeling I had when I was reading the book, partly through Noelle Gallagher, first of all, recommending it and hearing her review the book and talk about discovering London and all of these places via the book, but then also reading the book and reading about Helene Hampf romanticising London in her head in 84 Charing Cross Road, and then actually visiting London in The Duchess of Bloomsbury Street and realising that London really did live up to all of her expectations. Now, I get told off for dog-earing the pages of my books as a bookmark. I have hundreds of bookmarks. In fact, I collect bookmarks. I tell people that I collect bookmarks because I do. I have a drawer full. Do I use them? Of course I don't. But something else that I do is I dog-ear the bottom of pages when there's something on the page that I want to revisit and go back to, sort of like highlighting, but not highlighting. For some reason, I draw the line at taking a highlighter to the book, but I'm absolutely happy to fold over all the pages willy-nilly. But there is one singular page that I folded over in this book because it made me laugh. Now, it is so rare that a book actually makes me laugh out loud, but this book managed it, and Helene Hampf is genuinely a comic genius. I think it's the contrast between Frank, who is so British, he's bumbling, he's apologetic, he's very sort of formal in the way that he writes his letters. Helene is the complete opposite. She is so forthright, she knows exactly what she wants, she's very matter-of-fact, very get the job done. And that contrast is hysterical in of itself, but there was this one letter that made me laugh out loud, and I'm going to read you a couple of lines from it because I just think it's brilliant. The context is that she's written a letter and it's been a while since she's had a reply, and in her letter she requested a couple of books and Frank just hasn't responded and hasn't sent her the books. So this letter is from February the 9th, 1952, and the letter just starts addressed to Sloth. I could rot over here before you'd send me anything to read. I ought to run straight to Brentano's, which I would if anything I wanted was in print. What do you do with yourself all day? Sit in the back of the store and read? Why don't you try selling a book to somebody? Miss Hampf, do you? I'm Helene only to my friends. And I just thought that was hysterical. I just think Helene Hampf was a comic genius. Before I get into my star ratings, I actually went to visit 84 Charing Cross Road. I work very, very close to Charing Cross Road, so on a lunch break during rehearsals for Cinderella, I popped across to Charing Cross Road. Now, Charing Cross Road still has a lot of antique bookstores on it, and I thought it was going to be one of those. I thought 84 Charing Cross Road was going to still be in business. Turns out, it is not. I am sad to report that 84 Charing Cross Road is now the McDonald's opposite the Palace Theatre where Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is currently showing. Well, will be currently showing when COVID sods off. But yeah, it's a McDonald's. It really upset me. I'm very, very sad that 84 Charing Cross Road, that Marks & Co. is no longer in business. So on that sad note, let's move on to my star ratings. Do I like the cover? Yes, I do. My edition has the front of the bookshop on it and two people, a woman and a man, who I'm assuming are Helene Hampf and Frank Dole, the two people. They're meant to represent those people, I'm guessing. But it's very colourful. It's a white book with a red shop front, and it's got the name of the shop in blue above on a little sign, and all of the books are red, yellow, orange and blue. It's very, very sweet. So yes, I do really like the cover. Do I like the writing style? Yes, I love the fact that it's all in letters. It makes me very, very happy, and all of the letters are quite short as well, and the whole book as a whole is very, very short, so I really did whiz through it, and like I said, I just wanted there to be more. I didn't want it to end, but I really loved the fact that it was formatted in its original style, I guess. You know, these really are letters that were sent back and forth, and I'm so pleased that it was just kept that way. I'm really pleased that Helene Hampf decided just to publish the letters as opposed to trying to find a way to turn it into a novel, if that makes sense. Did I relate to the characters? Yes, I mean, they're real people, so this is kind of a hard one to answer, but I found Helene Hampf so hysterically funny, and I loved her love of reading. I loved her urgency to find these books, and it almost felt like she was just finding excuses after a while to keep writing to Marks & Co. She probably didn't really need most of those books that she ended up buying, but she just wanted to keep the correspondence going because she really did enjoy writing to London and receiving things from London. So I definitely relate to Helene Hampf. Did it make me feel something? Yes, I cried. I do warn you, there's nothing so heartbreaking as real life. And whilst this is a gorgeous, heartwarming story, there are a couple of sad bits, so I do warn you now. And finally, would I recommend it? I'm making a podcast about it, so yes, this is a 5-star read for me, I've got to be honest. It really made me extremely happy, and it's still a book that I think of often, especially considering I work so close to Charing Cross Road, I'm there quite often. So every time I pass that McDonald's, I do think of it. Today's question has been sent in by someone called Sarah, and that question is, what is your favourite book-to-movie adaptation? 84 Charing Cross Road has actually been turned into a movie starring Anthony Hopkins. I always want to say Bob Hoskins, but they are two very different actors, and they are not the same. Starring Anthony Hopkins, and I've not watched it, although I would really love to see it, so I might give that a watch this weekend. But my personal favourite book-to-movie adaptation is Pride and Prejudice, the recent one with Keira Knightley, because, first of all, the music. The music in that movie does something to me. I don't know what it is, but it just squeezes my soul in all the right places and just makes me feel things. And every now and again, it comes up on a reading playlist. I always make my Google Home play me reading music or focus music or something like that whilst I'm reading. And every now and again, it comes up on that playlist. And I kind of end up just stop reading and just listening to it, or I have to make my Spotify skip to the next track because I know I won't take in anything that I'm reading because I'll just end up listening to the wonderful music from that score. But also, Matthew McFadyen, who plays Mr. Darcy, I can't watch him in anything else now because he is Mr. Darcy in my head. Any other actor who plays that role will never match up to Matthew McFadyen. And as an actor, I know how unfair that is, but my brain just can't handle it. He is my Mr. Darcy. You know what I mean? Am I talking no sense? I don't know. Also, Judi Dench, Donald Sutherland, Carey Mulligan, Rosamund Pike. The cast is outrageous. The cast is outrageous. And of course, Keira Knightley, but Keira Knightley's kind of a given because she plays Elizabeth Bennet. We know she's good. But the rest of the cast is just not only star-studded, but also just ridiculously talented and perfect. The casting is perfect. And it has become my go-to movie of a rainy day. I just stick it on every now and again when I just need a little bit of a heartwarm or a soul squeeze. So yeah, Pride and Prejudice, the 2005 version of Pride and Prejudice, has become my favourite book-to-movie adaptation. And I would love to know what your favourite book-to-movie adaptation is. So please let me know at Prattle and Pages on Instagram. And I will see you next time. Thanks for listening.